Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And we have a buzz.
Yeah, wow. A buzz about the show.
I think I can eliminate this buzz with a filter. But I've been having mechanical issues all day.
Is it possible? Do you have like a current conditioner, a electricity conditioner?
No. This is the same rig. There's nothing different. It's why
maybe
it's buzzing
NSA.
Is beyond me. There's something else going on. But I had, here's an example of today's, like, I've just had mechanical things today. You calling, it rings the other house. So I'm driving along in my car to go to Fry's Electronics. Mm-hmm. And the cruise control just shuts off.
Hmm.
So I turn it on and off and on and off and on and off, and I'm flipping it, it's dead. I'm thinking, this old car is finally, given up the ghost and so far as cruise control is concerned. I'm going to have to get – this cost me hundreds of dollars to get this fixed.
Yeah.
So on the way back, it works fine.
It must have been it didn't like going that direction.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe there's like a whole electrical an excess electrical something going on around you.
Well, that could be because right now there's this weird storm coming in. We haven't had rain for so long. Could be a lot of static or something. Adam had this problem at his end when we did the last No Agenda show.
Oh. Well.
It wasn't as bad as this, though, but we remained silent for 1 second.
Okay.
And I'll filter it out.
I don't know why I just held my breath. I don't know why I was just holding my breath. But anyway, hey, let's go on. The president spoke tonight, and he was all about pretty much the same things that he was all about in the last several speeches. And he was talking about how a couple things. First of all, inequality was a big thing, which I want to talk to you about. But also that if the Congress can't act and do what they need to do according to what his ideas are to make sure that things like the economy keeps on going in the right direction, the inequality is compressed, and we have a better energy efficiency policy, et cetera, well, he's just going to do away with Congress and basically do executive orders.
Yeah, that's what he said. I thought that was weird. I heard that.
I mean, I don't.
And he got it. So here's what got me about that. Let me might as well mention this. He says, he didn't say this in these words, but this is what he kind of said. He said, Congress sucks. I'm just going to sign over. I'm going to become a dictator. I'm going to sign whatever I want because we can't get anything done any other way. And they give him a standing ovation. What was that all about?
Yeah, they probably needed to. It's probably the sign came up. Stand up and clap. You know,
Why would they give him a standing ovation for that, for saying he's going to do that?
Well, I think it was probably the Democrats who did that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Republicans, they don't stand up for anything.
Well, but the Democrats did that in, saying, hey, look at you, Republicans. You're stopping everything. And if you know what, we're going to go around you at this point to get the things done that we want to get done. You know, the two things that really stuck out to me that I was really taken aback by was the first thing, of course, was what you're talking about here, that really a shot to the gut of democracy. The second thing is we're talking about inequality. Now, listen, I think everybody should have tons of money and opportunities and everything great that they can have. But let's just talk about what the concept of inequality is. It's that some people have a lot more or more than other people, right?
Now, generally,
at the heart of capitalism is this whole notion of inequality. You can't have equality and capitalism in the same sentence. It just doesn't go along with each other. So our economy and our country was built on a free market enterprise, a capitalistic process that there is entrepreneurialism. There are some people that will be the managers, some people that will be the workers, some people that will be, retired with lots of money because they made a hit on something. And at the same time, democracy. So basically two of the core components of what we have become so powerful because of, and why our country is the greatest country in the world, is the things that he's hitting on to totally blow them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that work?
It's not going to work. This is just a bunch of blather as far as I'm concerned.
But he got a standing ovation for the State of the Union address. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, so we'll see what happens there. There's a lot of things happening I thought were very interesting. First of all, the Winklevoss twins, you know, the gents.
Oh, those guys. Yeah.
They got screwed out of the whole Facebook thing, but made, I don't know, $500 or $600 million or some undisclosed amount. And their big thing, their big venture is Bitcoin. One of the things they wanted to do was to have one of the first traded Bitcoin ETFs. And wouldn't you guess it? Somebody came in front of them. These guys, you get a break. But the one of the companies that the Winklevoss guys back is a company called BitInstant. Now, the Justice Department said on Monday that it arrested the CEO, Charlie Schrem, and charged him with conspiring to commit money laundering and operating an unlicensed, it was all about drugs and all sorts of things going on, and he just resigned and gone. But these guys can't get a break, huh?
Well, they've got nothing but breaks.
Yeah.
Until they're in the slammer,
yeah,
they're getting plenty of breaks.
Maybe they're not as pure and wholesome as they kind of present themselves as. Possibly?
Maybe. Could be.
I don't want to get ourselves into a, these guys are the kind of guys that will sue you for saying their name wrong.
I like them. They're great guys.
Yeah, I think they're wonderful. I'm just saying that somebody else said, this is what I heard.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe
they look like they're litigious. They're litigious.
Yeah, exactly. So, this is going on in the background of a lot of countries debating whether or not the whole Bitcoin thing is going to be, allowed or not. And, we have this thing called Silk Road. You're familiar with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Silk Road is, we can get a variety of, drugs.
Well, you used to. That's shut down, as far as I know.
Yeah, but there's still these,
there's offshoots.
Yeah. And you pay for this stuff with Bitcoin, whether it's going to be pornography and maybe stuff that you shouldn't have, drugs of sorts that maybe are either prescription or not that are available. And you can do this through the underground, quote unquote, currency with Bitcoin. That's how the whole point started, so that nobody could track it, know what you're doing. And, they built it into this idea that it will become a secondary currency. Oh, come on. It's all about utilizing some kind of an instrument for essentially trade and for barter. For things that you don't want the authorities to know about.
Yeah.
I'm just making the obvious point there.
Yeah, there's a point to be made.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan, I'm not a big sports guy, but I saw something came across today that I said, how is that even possible? So, we got the big Super Bowl coming up this weekend, maybe. Seems that, I don't know if you've read this, but depending on the weather, they may actually move the date of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is going to be a disaster if they have to do that. And then they'll think twice about putting the bowl up in these northern climes.
What schmucky idiot decided in February to have the Super Bowl in the middle of, the winter?
Yeah, in New York. Well, this is corruption, it seems to me.
Chris Christie.
Well, yeah, it's in Jersey. You're right.
Probably come back to him somehow. There's not enough parking. Parking is minimum $300 a parking pass, supposedly. Tickets are ridiculously priced. There's not enough hotels and things like that, which is okay. So you get a lot of people renting their homes and things of that nature. But I it's the Super Bowl. Why don't they just somehow say, we're going to have this in a dome every year? We're going to have this in – maybe even build a particular stadium somewhere.
They don't need it always in a dome. The Orange Bowl is a great Super Bowl venue. It's been there a lot of times. It's never had a problem.
The Orange Bowl. Down here?
Yeah.
We don't do the Orange Bowl anymore. Now it's the
– whatever that big stadium is.
Now I don't even know what it's called anymore. But, yeah, Sun Life Stadium.
It used to be the Orange Bowl Stadium.
Right. Yeah. That's years ago.
Yeah, whatever it is. That stadium, the Florida stadiums, there's a bunch of them. They could have it in any one of them. There's a couple of football teams that got good stadiums.
Yeah. But, that's a little bit unfair to the economies of the other states and the other towns. But still, so what you do is you split it all up. Say, hey, whatever's going to be made.
They had it in Arizona. They could have it in Seattle's got a dome kind of a thing. I mean, Texas, when's the last time the Dallas place had it?
Right. There's plenty of opportunities to have it somewhere else. This was a bit crazy, in my opinion. And if they do move it, now you got all sorts of trouble. I agree. You got people that came in just for the game.
Right, and they're going to sue.
Oh, terrible. So, but anyway, just on the idea of sports here. seems that for the first time in the history of college sports, athletes are asking to be represented by labor unions.
I love this story.
This is, how does this happen? How do you go from being a college athlete who, quote unquote, is not paid in any way for their performance and for their play to being in a labor union? How does the word labor go with, you know, college?
They claim they're employees.
That just makes no sense.
I'm on their side on this one. If this is the only way you're going to open the door to paid to college players getting paid for running, for being part of a commercial operation, then this, let it be. I'm fine with me. I think they should. Of course, this is going to, even better to me is the fun involved with watching the NCAA squirm.
Oh. I don't understand how, I mean, it's a fine line. I mean, we know that there's payments of sorts and guarantees and things like that. But the big thing that they're looking for really is like a guaranteed amount of money in the event that they're injured so that, you know, they can guarantee their future. They're there playing football. They're not getting paid. And in the event
let's back up a minute.
Yeah.
Not getting paid. They're getting a scholarship to go to the school. If they don't play football, the scholarship goes away. Ah, sounds like payment to me.
Okay. I'm with you.
So, I think they have every right in the world to become a union.
Wow.
And I think it's a lot more fun than them not becoming a union. This is going to be great.
Well, I mean, you know, when you start having the strikes and all that, that's going to be good.
Oh, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, no, this is...
it's the beginning of the end. It's the beginning of the end.
My son already, he's in high school. He's already forming a little bit of, you know, the initial beginnings of a labor union.
Troublemaker.
You know, oh, yeah. He said, you know, they could do it. We're going to do it, too. And you know what? In a way, if you think about it, we go to school, and by us going to school, there are people that make money on that. So, therefore, we should be entitled to something as well.
I'm all for it. I think it's a part of capitalism.
Right. I mean, he's in some classes, which I'm totally against, he's required to sell these fakakta candies in order to get a grade. Yep.
He's required to sell candy?
Yep.
Door to door?
Well, no, to your parents, it seems.
Oh, yeah, that's scam.
Yeah, so you buy this $50 or $100 box of candy, because if you don't, you're not going to get a decent grade. It's like a 30 a grade.
Yeah, this is essentially a racket. It's an extortion racket.
Exactly.
Your kid's involved in extortion.
Well, here's the thing. I made some calls, and when I found out about this, I was livid. So I made some calls, and in my back pocket, I have two different reporters that want to do an expose on this, if I need to.
Okay.
So.
There you go. This is playing dirty, but I like it.
Yeah. All right. Turkey. Now, Turkey has been a problem. The country of Turkey, you know, was a great place to be in terms of investing for some time, an economy that was moving well. The central bank and the government were very, very cooperative with making sure that there was growth and all that. And as we had the recent change in the Fed in their policy, or at least the outlook, where they're going to begin this tapering, what happens is that the dollar started moving up against emerging markets. And that started a real big problem because there was so much money invested in the currencies and different carry trades in the emerging markets because they had such a much better yield than U.S. or developing markets, that this started to unwind and started getting a little bit crazy. To a point that this evening, after I guess about a week and a half where things really got out of hand and markets were really imploding around the world, emerging markets were really looking terrible, money was coming out. See, what happens is people start pulling their money out of the emerging markets because or places that they had as an alternative to developed markets in their currencies, and that starts taking money out, and then they start pulling money out in the form of bonds, and they start pulling money out in the form of stocks, and they want to make sure they're out of this stuff because they don't want to have the currency move against them very strongly. Well, that was just – it just started getting really out of control. This evening at 12 o'clock Turkey time, the Turkish financial minister raised the interest rates from 5% to 12%.
Wow.
Yep.
Holy crap.
And that was supposedly what the markets were looking for. When that happened, it was about, let's call it, five-ish here.
Yeah.
Markets went straight up. I mean, the futures because the markets were closed, even though we had some not such great earnings numbers, and it was a rough day with durable goods today, even though markets went up because of it, it seems. Earnings from Apple was terrible, which we'll talk about in a minute. You know, right now you're seeing the futures are up about almost 0.75% just on that news.
I guess they were looking for that. That's good.
Yeah, they're looking for it, but what it's doing is it's saying, oh, wow, but, you know, think about this. Went from a 5% to a 12% interest rate. Hey, I'm going to put my money back over there. So now they're, you know, yanking money out of the U.S. in terms of the dollar. That moves the markets up, and it stabilizes the rest of the world. The Asia's up nicely. And you got to look at this table that I gave you here.
Okay.
This table is the 1 month, 3 month, year date, but we can look at a few of these. Of the emerging markets and international markets, look at the massive amount of destruction was done recently. Look at the first one is Turkey. 3 months, the Turkish market is down 28%. Brazil down 20%. Africa 13%. Philippines down 12%. This is now when you combine the currency and the stock market, because they come together here. That's a pretty rough move, huh?
It's really, yeah, this is unbelievable, some of these, especially up at the top.
Yeah, and quietly, this is happening in the background. I mean, you know, we know it's happening, but it's a lot to do with all the currency and all that's going on with the situation.
What am I looking at? TC rotation, percent 1M. Yeah, that's one month, 3 months, year-to-date, and the last 12 months?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So year-to-date, what's year-to-date? That's 3 weeks?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Turkey's down 11% in the last 3 weeks. It happened really very, very quickly. Now, their futures are up about 4% or so on this move, because a lot of money will come back to the market if they have a financial minister who's very apt to keep on raising rates. You know, at first you think that raising rates early isn't a good thing. If we raise rates a lot, it would be very bad. But this pulls in money from the outside.
Yeah, well, you know, the rates do have different effects.
Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing that this incredible rout that has been going on in the...
You know, pull in money, but it should pretty come close to destroying the economy. I can't believe that would... I don't see why people just don't see it that way.
Yeah, it's the borrowing rate at the top level. I you know, it's a mixed bag. You know, it's on one hand, you're going to get a lot of flows of capital in now, so they have to go. It has to go somewhere. You know, if you have a 12%, you know, 10%, they have multiple different rates, so it's not really going to be exactly 12. But if you have money coming in, it has to find something to invest in or put it in. So it's going to go into the stock market. If the idea that the Turkish stock market is pretty strong, or at least, well, not strong, but it's been a good place to be for a while, and a very cooperative government, well, you could see a quick reversal of this. Now, if you have just on the very surface of it, if their currency moves up 2 or 3% on this move, because the Turkish lira compared to the U.S. dollar hit an all-time low yesterday. And
time
again,
to
this
visit.
Happened quietly in the background.
Time to visit.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy some rugs.
Ah, good idea.
You really can't get out of Turkey without buying rugs.
Right.
What apparently everybody sells rugs there.
Turkish baths? No. Turkish hashish? What else can you get?
Well, hashish is a few years away.
Well, actually, Florida seems to be having on their slate the idea of having medical marijuana approved for medical use.
Good.
Why don't they just do the medical thing? Why don't they just say, okay, just let it go?
No, they have to have the stepping. They want to. I don't know either. It's stupid because it's once the medical comes in, then you have a bunch of these script doctors who will sit in the front of any one of these places, any one of the places that sell the pot, and they'll write you and you can walk in. I haven't done this yet, but I think I'm going to do it because it seems to me that if you're in California or any place where there's medical marijuana laws, you should get one of the prescriptions because what happens if you just, I don't know, you're driving around somebody in your car and the next thing you know, this person, you get pulled over and this person's got some pot on him and you get your car confiscated. So you'd want to have the script. And so you can go to any one of these dispensaries. That's the word I was looking for while I was coming up with that story. And there's a guy there, and he'll sign, yeah, what, you got a headache? Yeah, I got a headache. It's right, I can't. The aspirin makes my stomach hurt. Oh, okay, here you go. And you can get this prescriptions like at the drop of a hat. So it's idiotic.
Yeah, well, it is idiotic. And if people want it, they'll find a way. Whether it's legal or not, we know that.
Right.
The point is to try to tax it and to try to bring some more money into
right
the environment.
So go all the way.
I'm just waiting for the day where you get together and you I'm trying to picture this, you know, hey, you want to come over for a couple of drinks before we go to the show? You know, instead of this, you know, something, hey, you want to come over for a quick bong before the show?
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, seriously.
I'm sure that goes on already.
Yeah, but it's not as prevalent. It's not as
It depends on the circle you're in. It's not a circle I'm in, but I'm sure it's not uncommon in certain circles. And it's like, I do know that this stuff is not the marijuana that, you know, your father's marijuana. This stuff is ridiculously powerful. And it's, I think it'd be, you come over, you have a couple of puffs, and you don't go to the show.
But they have different things. I mean, I was in Amsterdam, and you walk into these coffee shops, and like, okay, let's see. They have the one that is like for energy.
Yeah.
The one that will let you sleep. The one that's good for thinking. The one that's good. They have this whole selection. I don't know how they do that, but, you know, this whole selection of different things that they'll do. So you can find one that will make you just sit in the corner and get paranoid and freak out all night, I guess. You know, you can have one that is, you know, going to enable you to
when
do
was
well
this?
On a test.
How many years ago was this? They've shut down most of these places.
Yeah, this is a while ago. This was, I don't know, 7 years ago?
Yeah, nowadays it's nothing like, as far as I know, it's just pretty hard to come by.
I remember when I was there, they had these things called smart shops. And the smart shops were where they sold these hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Yeah, those are all shut down.
And I asked them, I said, well, what's the deal on that? You know, and they said, well, that's really for the visitors. I'm like, well, why is that? I said, well, the locals, they'll go in there, they'll have pot and all that, but they really don't want to have something where you feel like you just jump off the roof and fly. That's what he said to me. I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
So in Hong Kong, we're having a problem with chickens again.
Yeah, it never ends.
Apparently,
I think there was a report on China News that 40 or 50 people that have the avian flu in and around China, most of it on the East Coast, which means some of these idiots will be flying over here.
Right, exactly. Well, the government's going to, in Hong Kong now, they're going to cull about 20,000 chickens at a wholesale poultry market after a sample from a chicken imported from the mainland tested positive for the H7N9, which last year was what, H5N1, I think it was?
No, H7N9 is the bad actor that's been around.
That's the okay. Yeah, there's different variations of this whole thing. Now, they're going to close the market for 21 days for cleaning and 21 days for cleaning and disinfection. That is a lot of cleaning.
They're freaked.
Yeah, well, they should be. You know, the problem there is that there's such a tremendous population and people live on top of each other. And they don't have – I've been there. They don't have the best – I would say the best cleanliness and the greatest level of disinfecting and you know, it's not like you're walking into a hospital when you're walking to China.
I would use the term they're cavalier.
Yeah, well, and you smell a lot of strange things when you're in China.
Tell me about it.
And the strange things are usually something that rotted some time ago.
Yeah, and it's usually somewhere that's nearby, and then there's a variety of these stenches. And every once in a while you get hit by one. It's like, whoa, right. What the hell was that?
Right. And there's one that I know of that I'm thinking about now. It is so horrendous that when you smell it, you won't forget it.
Yeah, well, I'm probably the same one I've smelled that. I think everyone has.
Oh, terrible.
It's like rotted fat or something in a sewer.
Yep. Speaking about rotten, Apple's earnings came out this evening, yesterday, excuse me. And did I get a bell for that or something?
Mm-hmm.
I did good. I can't tell the bell between that and your hissing sound.
The buzzing. Hopefully we get rid of that.
Yeah, I don't hear it anymore. Anyway, there was actually good earnings, and the main issue that really had investors, I think, upset was the fact that the iPhone sales were much lower than anticipated. We saw that MacBook sales were up and a few other things were up, but the iPhone sales, which is clearly the mainstay of what they do, was down, and the shares were hit by about 8%. Now, usually that would mean that about 0.75% to 1% drop in the NASDAQ 100 because they have a very big position in there. They're inside the NASDAQ 100 in terms of market cap. Apple's one of the biggest ones. So they have, about a 10 or 12% weighting in there right now. It used to be a lot higher until they shuffled a few things around. But, of course, Carl Icahn came out to the rescue and says that he's using the sell-off to buy more shares. You know why? Because the market got Apple's results wrong. You know, the entire market's wrong, but Carl is right.
What's your take on this? In what way, in what universe, can the market have been wrong about this?
Well, it can't be because at the end of the day, it was down 8%, so that's it. End of sentence. Now, whether or not it comes back because of the fact that people want to own the stock because they feel that it's, you know, a decent earner over time and they have $140 billion in cash and, you know, all that good stuff, or they have a new technology that comes out or something else, that's another story. But the market didn't get it wrong today. It was down 8% today, and the book is closed on today. Therefore, the market was right. By the way, if the stock was up 10%, the market would have been right also.
The market's always right.
Exactly. It is right. Whatever happens is right for that moment, for that time. Seriously.
Yeah, so you can't say the market was wrong.
Right. So
the market's the market. It's right. Like saying, oh, the air is wrong. Oh, the cloud is wrong.
Right. So Icahn invested another, I think $500 million. Now, he's getting into a lot of things. He's trying to get eBay to split off PayPal. And eBay's like, no, I don't think so. Why are we doing that? You know, trying to spin it off entirely. For whatever reason, eBay wants to keep it, and PayPal's a big part of, you know, it's possible that PayPal is such a big part of eBay that without it, eBay's earnings are going to look pathetic. I don't know.
I don't know.
He's coming out against that, and they're coming out against him on Apple, saying that, you know, he's trying to push Apple to provide a greater dividend and also to do a buyback, some absurd buyback that would pretty much buy back the entire stock. Like a $50 billion buyback.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're going to privatize the company.
Right. It's like it's
with your own money.
Right. So, anyway, he's been very active, and he figured out how to use Twitter, which is just, you know.
Yeah, that's the death of Twitter as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think I'm following him. I can't believe he's tweeting. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, he probably has a lot of followers, too. And there was a few times that he did some tweets, and it really did move markets. You know, from what I can see in the last several quarters, investors have given Marissa Mayer a bit of a pass.
I agree.
Whether it's her beautiful blonde hair or whatever else it is, or maybe her style and her execution in terms of delivery of items, including babies. It seems that there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of good feelings around the whole Yahoo situation, where they've had over the last several quarters a declining revenue.
Yeah, that can't be good.
That's usually not the best thing ever.
No, now, it's funny. Declining revenue in the stock. What is it? At 40? It went up.
I don't know exactly the stock. No, the stock was down 2-3%. You know, I mean, these days if you make and beat really nicely, they take your stock up 10%, and if you miss and it's miserable, they take you down 2%. You know, that's what's been going on. But analysts were projecting revenue of about $1.1 billion, they expected, and they came in right in the middle, 106 to 1.1. And, you know, looking at all the things that were involved with their earnings, it was okay, but again, you know, a reduction from where they were and a decline. So you wonder how much longer markets are going to provide a provide this pass, you know, okay, it's good to, you know, don't worry about it.
It's at 38.22. Mm-hmm. Let's see what it looks like.
It's pretty much went up really nicely straight up for a while and then stopped. And then I don't have a chart, but this is my recollection. And then it came in down a bit and kind of wallowed around for a while and then started moving back up again, and now it's just stuck.
Yeah,
this could be the top level here. Not that it has to go down, but it may have a lot more requirement to really move up beyond the former high, in the future.
It's like, I'm going to put this on my list as a short.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a head and shoulders maybe be forming here.
I will put that on
Push it down to like 27.
Adding that to the list behind the scenes. All right. Now, a couple other things I want to go over here that I think are rather interesting. Natural gas. Have you been watching this at all?
No, not really.
So we have this thing, it seems, that everybody, my wife loves to say this. I don't know what this polar vortex.
People like the term.
I've never heard about this in my life before.
It sounds like an automobile brand name. What'd you get? You got a Chevy Camaro? No, I got a polar vortex.
Yeah. So what is a polar vortex? Because I've been hearing about this with this whole cold weather where it's, you know, negative 20 in Chicago and it's, you know, freezing and snowing in Israel and all this weird stuff happening, right? So, you know, putting aside the joke that obviously global warming is the cause of this, I looked it up. So it's one of several semi-permanent weather systems over the Earth.
Right.
The polar vortex is an area of low pressure in the upper atmosphere that on average in the northern hemisphere typically has centers in two main areas, Canada's Baffin Island and over northeast Siberia.
Right.
It seems that somehow it breaks off. I don't, you know.
Well, it gets pushed around every so often for one reason or another. It's happened before. It happened in the 70s during the era where we had global cooling and everyone was freaked out. We're into a new ice age. And it first got mentioned, according to some people, at least it was named or quantified as early as the 1950s. So it's not necessarily, it's just a fluke.
I mean, it's a cold weather pattern here. It sounds so scary, polar vortex. It sounds like it's going to suck you off the earth.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It does.
So it seems
definitely sucks.
Yeah, no kidding. It seems that because of this, you have to agree that people are going to require more heat. I mean, there's no question about that. And what you have seen is a very substantial move in natural gas. Natural gas hit $5. First time it's hit that and actually surpassed that briefly. First time in a very long time. And this is with the fact that we have all this natural gas that we're finding, you know, some ridiculous amount of natural gas we're finding through all sorts of places inside the U.S. and from fracking and all that good stuff. And you know, we are moving this up dramatically. And this is something that has just been languishing. Last year was horrible for this. So one of the things I started thinking about was there's one particular ETF that is trades in natural gas, and that's UNG. And now UNG, if you look at the historical comparison between natural gas itself, the futures, and UNG, it's abysmal. Because what happens with UNG due to the contango where the prices in the future are priced higher over, you know, as you go out, they roll these contracts inside of the UNG. They roll the futures contracts and they have to, you know, so 1 month at a time.
Boy, this is a roller coaster chart.
Yeah, it's ugly. But you got to look at the long history. That's the thing you need to look at. How it's come clearly from top left to bottom right.
And whoa! Yeah. Okay, so since I'm looking at it. It looked like it's around at the point where it peaked. It appears to be somewhere between January 08 and January 09, which I would assume is like July. And then it was sitting at $450.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just slid down to about $14 in a continuous slide. With some, looks like reverse splits or something.
I have $250. What do you have?
Well, I have the reverse splits are figured in or something.
Okay.
So it appears that the actual value with the splits it figured out is over 450. Now you look on the Yahoo chart.
So now here's the thing, though. One of the reasons that if you could overlay natural gas on this, and you were to see where natural gas is, you would expect that you'd see the same kind of move, right? I mean, you know, generally speaking. It's not. Because what happens here is on a regular basis, because of the general contango that's in the market, again, this is just a standard thing that the future prices are higher than the current prices. So if you have the futures that expire, let's say March, well, then you have the futures that expire in June. And so they have these inside their portfolio. They have maybe a chunk of the futures that expire in March, and then they have a chunk that, you know, maybe some of them that expire in June. And then by the time March is over, they have to buy more of June's, and then they buy the next outward future. Well, because the price are higher, they're always you're getting killed on, you know, the rolls. You're taking a big whack on that. Now, in between there may be times. Today was up 3.5%.
This is a terrible ETF.
Terrible. It's awful. It's the worst. But it's the what do I have here? It has $1 billion of assets or something like that, or something ridiculous.
Well, how do you manage to – how do you know to avoid something like UNG?
What you would do is – I mean, one of the things you need to do
is – You could short it.
Yeah, that's the play on this all the time. But every time it moves up, you know, the theory is to short it. And that's what's on my list.
Huh.
And, you know, you can get hurt in between. Like, you know, you can have 10%, you know, days, weeks.
Well, looking at this chart, you don't get hurt a lot.
Right. Well, I mean, you did go from, what, 21 to 24 since, what date is this? You know, the 15th.
Yeah.
That's a little painful. But so the thing is that if you do look at, there's ways to look at the rolls and the way to look at, you know, what the potential contango pain is going to be. And there's also ways to look at what the actual, in some of these funds, the actual net asset value, what the underlying assets are worth compared to what the real value is.
Is there a short version of UNG?
Well, we like to short UNG if we can because you can.
But I mean, I'm just saying, it seems to me if there was a short version, you could go long on.
Right.
Or no, would you short the short? No, you would go long on the short.
Let's see here. Short natural gas. Let's see. There's a couple of them here. Let's see. There's one that, I think one's called something gas or something like that. Let's see. D-Gaz, I think, is one of them. Cold, K-O-L-D, is that one of them?
K-O-L-D.
Yeah.
It's Delta short.
Yep. It doesn't trade very much, though.
No, there's not even a chart. Let me see if I can find a month, 2-3 month chart.
D-Gaz.
Oh, yeah. It's same thing. It drops like a rock.
Yeah.
So you'd short the ultra short. This would be better. Look at this. If you can look at this chart, in 3 months.
You're talking about cold?
It has gone. Yeah, cold. K-O-L-D. Check this chart out. In 3 months, it's gone from 100 to 50.
All right. And I don't think. What has natural gas actually done here? This is a little bit of volume. This is 207,000. Let me pull up natural gas. Hang on.
So all these things that have this process of buying and selling contracts are just losers in terms of being an ETF worth even looking at.
Yeah, I mean, the natural gas went from November till now, went from about 350 to, we'll call it 490. So it's a buck and a half. So you're talking about 40%. So... Well, this is an ultra short, so you're getting a double here. So,
I don't think that makes much difference. Is there one that's just a regular short?
No, I haven't found it. You can't really find those.
Okay.
I don't know why they is a problem. Because they use, inside these ultras, they use some things like futures, but they also use a lot of swaps, which has a much higher leverage factor. And you would think that you should be able to do, as you said, is do a bit of an arbitrage, right? You should be able to go short the long and long the short or something of that nature.
I think you short both.
Yeah, shorting both. And actually, there's if you look right now, I don't know. I don't know who you are. Is there anything that says premium or discount? Does anything say there?
No, I don't see that.
So I'm looking at, I just happen to pull up a Zacks page, and it shows me that there is a discount $19. Now, let's see here. This is valued at, where does this close? At 47. Yeah, and the NAV is at 69. So there's some weird stuff going on in this. Values it a lot higher, so there's a big discount here, which is odd. And that may be due to the reverse roll effect, but you're not getting paid on that.
Wow.
Yeah, these things are messed up. I mean, I don't know why so many people, well, I guess there's not much of a choice in terms of natural gas. I mean, what are you going to do? There's only one or, you know, a couple of different ETFs out there.
And you can go to the commodity market and really shake the dice.
Yeah. I mean, those are highly leveraged, so. Let's see what else we got. Google Glasses are just coming on strong, or Google Glass, I guess they call it. We're seeing a lot of commentary about this, and now it seems that they're coming out with a prescription brand of these or style of these.
Yeah.
So that, and I guess Google has all sorts of different styles of these. They're going to be like $1,000 to $1,500. And, of course, it comes with the Google Glass. And you could be a test user if you want. I think they charge $1,000. To do it. But there's an insurance company actually coming out and paying for the prescription version of the device. And what's interesting, I think that this is a marketing ploy. simply to give the insurance company more, you know, more play. And God knows what you have to pay them. If they're going to definitely pay for Google Glass, you know, that's $1,000 to $1,500 they're going to have to pay, they know about up front. So you're going to have at least that embedded in your cost for insurance.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the real big deal is.
Some sounds like a scam of some sort.
Now, overseas, China's trade, don't be shocked, by the way, China's trade numbers have again been distorted by fake exports.
Unbelievable. Not only last year, but how does this happen?
I don't know. You know, this is the problem is they found this out because what's happening is that they look at, for example, the Hong Kong trade and how much they imported, and then they match that against the China trade, how much they exported to Hong Kong, and the numbers are not exactly matching. So there's somebody saying, like, what is the story here? Because one of the things they've done is that in order to move money across borders, they're saying, okay, you know, what we're going to do is send you a shipment of copy paper or whatever it may be. And that copy paper is really, you know, it's valued at, let's call it, you know, X amount. But it's really money. So money is going across the borders and it's being disguised and they're either, you know, putting the value up much higher or the much lower, and it's just a mess.
Sounds like some sort of a screwy money laundering operation.
Yeah, it's essentially what it is. That's why it's so out of whack. And why people even try to believe these numbers is beyond my comprehension. You know, when we get numbers here, durable goods came out today. We're expecting a plus 2%. It came in at about a negative 4. Now, that's a pretty big variation. The equity markets in the early morning prior to the open, the futures were up about, I think, about 8 points or so after a couple of days being sold off pretty hard. That number comes out, futures go down to 0. They take it right down, okay? And, of course, during the day, because now you're thinking, well, the durable goods weren't so good and last month's employment wasn't so good and some of the numbers in terms of housing are getting a little soft. Maybe the Fed's going to slow down and they have a meeting tomorrow with their, you know, their tapering. So now you got all the stimulus bugs, you know, picking up the pieces and figuring that, you know, central banks are going to step in. Then, of course, you do have the central bank stepping in tonight, Turkey. And then markets are up nicely throughout the day. You know, I think that what's interesting to note, though, is that in the United States, even though we have a pretty good, I think, measure of and a handle on our economics, we miss terribly here. Whereas in China, they come like spot on all the time. You know, they say there's going to be a 7.5% number, and miraculously, 7.5 is the number.
Yeah, this is reminds me of like these rigged elections. You know, these guys get some guy gets 98% of the vote. You know, there's no way that anyone ever gets 98. Nothing gets 98% of anything because there's just too many people that would just disagree just to disagree.
Yeah, so, I disagree with that.
Exactly.
Now, Italian police are searching for sender of pig's heads to Rome's main synagogue. Now, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I was in Rome, and I went to the main synagogue. And I took the tour, looked around the place, very nice. And on the way out, the head rabbi was there. So the guy said to me, hey, that's the head rabbi. I'm, really? I went over, I talked to him. I'm a friendly guy, right? I start talking to him. How are you? The guy wouldn't talk to me.
What?
He wouldn't talk to me. Talking to the guy.
Maybe he was deaf.
No, it turns out, and I got really pissed off, turns out he doesn't speak English.
Okay, well, then what do you expect him to do?
I didn't know that ahead of time, so I'm sitting there just getting more and more pissed off as time's going on as I'm talking to this guy, right?
Why doesn't he say something to you like, hey, I don't speak the English?
Yeah, no English, Italian only or something, I don't know. But anyway, the Israeli embassy and a city museum in Rome was hosting an exhibit on the Holocaust. So now the anti-terrorism squad is out, and I mean, what kind of wackos are sending pig's heads in three separate boxes? That's not nice. Just not nice.
How is this terrorism?
I don't know. I don't think it's terrorism, but it's just not nice. It's, you have the anti-not nice squad going after it, you know? Don't forget, when you mess with Israel, they come on strong. You know, you could do something very minor that in some places would be like, oh, you know what, and Israel comes on strong. They cut you right off at the knees. And they don't take any crap.
It could have been just juvenile delinquents.
Yeah. It could have been a wrong address. You know, some people will maybe cook the pig's heads and, you know, have them in a soup or something and may have gone to the wrong address.
It's possible. Seems unlikely, but possible.
Unlikely that all three went to the wrong address.
Yeah.
Exactly. What story? Did you reset your mail meter and you had to pay more for mail now?
No.
You got to pay 3 cents more.
Oh, I just bought so many of these forever stamps that I don't have to pay for stamps for the next 5 years.
Can you now sell them? I don't think you can sell stamps, can you?
Yeah, you used to be able. It used to be a form of currency. You used to be able to buy and sell stamps as if it was actual money. And I don't see that's changed. Yeah, so I could sell the forever stamps for the latest price, I'm sure. Might not be a bad investment the way things are going.
Well, I mean, you know, especially that chart. I got to put that chart on the site. We'll put that on DH Unplugged, that grid with the price movement of the markets around the world. It's pretty shocking.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm going to put it on as the cover art. Okay. So
let's go over to our stocks. Why don't we?
Yes, let's do that.
We're not starting off as well as we started off last year.
Well, we actually didn't get rolling until about February or March.
Of last year?
Yeah. Huh. And the reason we have a problem here, obviously, is that the market turned around and we're long everything and we haven't made the switcheroo to being short.
Right.
So we got all buy, and we have red.
Yep.
And, e-cigs is out, has been bumped.
Which is, I'm really kind of bummed about that, because it came down and came back up today. But
Gyrodyne, I don't know why I was even in that or something. I had some reason. Dycom looks good.
I thought it would do well, but
Anheuser-Busch is still good. I think I like where it's going. Hop-Hog is actually done well.
It hasn't moved. It just happens to be
It hasn't moved.
It's a grounding error.
It seems like maybe it's, I don't know, something weird.
Well, you
about
use
that.
A penny on that thing to be up like 7%.
Yeah, I know. I know. I have to be careful. We got Seacoast Banking and Ironwood Farmer. These are, I'm not concerned about this.
Right. So I have a couple of picks. With all the discussion about the legalization of, or at least the bring down of marijuana to different states and possibly what's going on. And while this may really have no particular bearing and it may not have any real benefit, what you usually see is when the news starts percolating about this, stocks that have anything that has a name similar to
I agree with that theory.
You know?
Yeah.
We saw that with Nest, remember? Nest was bought by Google, and the stock that had just the same symbol went up like 10,000%.
Yeah, I know. That would have been a great, great thing to happen.
So we're going to put on long for medical marijuana, MJNA, as a buy with a longer stop, a 20% stop on that one because it's a whopping 39 cents. And also, we're going to short, no surprise, United States Natural Gas Fund, UNG. And you may see a little bit of more of an upside on this, but with the contango that's going on and you know, with the fact that I'll guarantee you one thing. It's not going to stay cold forever.
Right.
Can you go along with that?
I agree with that 100%.
So if a lot of the movement, there is some supply issues, there was a main line break. But aside from that, if a lot of this has to do with the cold weather and there's a bit of a massive amount of short covering going on, I would think that once you see the break from that, the story is going to change dramatically.
I have a couple other things to discuss.
Now you're gonna just hang on one little second here. You're going to put Yahoo on short. Is that definite?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Go ahead.
You're gonna get this thing full, so it's really red.
Can I make one point though?
Yeah.
This is not an offer to solicit any kind of stock. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any stock.
No,
this
of course
is
not
anything more than just a discussion that we're having. Two guys talking and you happen to be listening.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to invest, you should seek professional financial management or an investment advisor or somebody and do your own research, et cetera. Because if you lose money, it is not our fault, man.
Right.
There you go.
All right. So there's a couple things I'm looking at. I don't know if I'm going to make a move on these, but Netflix.
Well, you're going to have to go short on Netflix is what you're going to do. You're not
That's
going
what
on,
I'm
right?
thinking. What do you All think? Right.
You know what? Who's left? You got Netflix, you got Hulu, you got Amazon. Apple doesn't seem to be they're doing the thing. Netflix is being they had a great number on their number of subs that they added last quarter, which was only a few weeks ago they came out with that number. I mean, they have an incredible amount of content they're picking up. They have obviously with the Apple TV and the Xbox and all that good stuff. I mean, they're everywhere. The you know and devices that are mobile as well. And on the you know they also have a lot of shows that are very good. I mean, listen, you know you're gonna watch I think Breaking Bad is their deal, right? Isn't that their deal?
No, House of Cards and
House of Cards
Orange
theirs.
Is the New Pink or something, whatever it is.
Orange is the New Black is another one of theirs, yeah. I mean, they have a couple things that are very good, but, you know.
I'm going to short them.
Okay.
See if I can do what I did last year, which is eventually hit the right moment and boom.
Yeah, that was a moment. That was good.
I'm also looking at a couple of companies. There's some really weird action, I think, like, for example, Opco Health.
Well, we know about that one. That has to do with the whole Teva thing and the Phil Frost they're all pissed off at.
Right, and the thing has dropped like a rock. It's down at 8.
Really? It was what, as high as, what, 12 or something?
Yeah, it was up there. I'm just thinking it might be a good rebounder or might, but I'm going to, since I don't want to overdo it, I'm going to push that off. But I am looking at American Eagle Outfitters because of insider buying.
Yeah, with these things, you know, you have, if you ever look at a chart of these things, they're all over the place. A lot of the discussion is about taking them private or, you know, a buyout, and this has gone on and on and on and on. But, you know, when it does, the news percolates in that manner, stock goes crazy.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. The guy who's buying, he's put $6 million, he bought half a million shares of American Eagle Outfitters at 12.
Mm-hmm.
He is the chairman of the board.
Ah.
And he bought a bunch of this stuff at 11. He's been buying it at different points. Lots of money. But his real investments are with DSW. He's selling like crazy.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a different story.
DSW. But he's selling into an upward motion. Mm-hmm. So he's been selling at 50, selling at 60, selling at 70, selling at 85. So he's selling and selling and selling. Now he's buying AEO.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that there's something weird going on here because these are similar businesses. One of them he's selling out and the other one he's buying into. And he's been pretty adept at getting out of one. And seems to be seeing something here. I just, to me, this has got something up written
well,
all over it.
On January 22nd, there was an announcement that CEO Robert Hansen of American Eagle is leaving. They're going to do a new search for a new CEO. In the interim basis, Jay Schottenstein is going to be chief executive.
Okay.
Of AEO. So now he's going to be working two companies. How does that work? I don't know.
Probably not. But what I'm thinking, it doesn't work. And here's what I'm thinking somebody's going to buy somebody else. It just seems to me that this guy is setting up some sort of a merger, acquisition, something. And he's going to take his company, DSW, and buy AEO out at a good price.
It's a lot easier on him. He could be CEO of both companies and don't, you know.
It's too much work.
Exactly. So spend $5 billion. What the heck?
So he can combine the two. It just looks like some sort of it just looks fishy. I mean, and the price, I like the price, $12.
Yeah, this stock has been on the downslope. No question about that since, as far as I'm looking back here. And it did pop up today a bit, 3%. And, I guess looking at some other things, Hansen's leaving. Yeah, there's not much other news on this. I wonder where the earnings are coming out, when the expectation is on that. March 11th. So we got a little while on that for the earnings. That's good. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so we're going, what are we doing? I don't even know. After all of that, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm buying. Actually, you know, now that you mention it, this is interesting because now that you mention it, the shorting, actually DSW has already collapsed. Yeah, he got out of that at 85 in October, and now it's down to 32. I mean, this guy's, he's one of these guys.
Yeah.
He's playing his own company. So I'm buying AEO.
AEO. AEO. Buying AEO because the CEO is one of those guys.
It's one of them guys. That's it. Yeah. Hey. You know, it's like old lady philosophy in terms of market choosing what to do.
Yeah.
But if you look back at his history, I mean, he's in and out of one thing or another, and all his moves have all been money makers. He has not done anything that I can see where he bought in or sold and lost out on the deal.
This is like one of the guys that eventually you're going to say, you know, gets taken down on some kind of insider deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like
not
that.
Not that we're saying that, of course.
No, well, besides that, he's the chairman of the board. He's an insider, so it's always insider trading.
Legal. Know what's going on,
legal
knows,
insider
right?
trading.
Right. If he doesn't know what's going on, I mean, you know.
So if he, he knows what's going on.
Right, exactly. So you have Netflix short, you have American Eagle long, I have, and Yahoo short you have. I have UNG short, which, you know, and I have medical herb marijuana for a long with a 20% stop.
Yeah, I like that stock. If I was actually trading some stock, I would probably buy that stock.
Oh, interesting.
Right, probably so more so than this other plays because I'm a penny stock guy in reality, and just looks like a great penny stock.
I'm going to put 20% on that one. Okay, good. Well, it looks like we got a pretty good number. Now, you know, if you look year to date towards the bottom of our spreadsheet, and everybody can see these spreadsheets over on DH Unplugged, where you can get everything you need and more. There's donation availability with Bitcoin, so we can go over to Silk Road and buy some stuff and all. And 2014 year to date, the S&P 500 is down 3%, Dow Jones down 4%, just broke a 5-day losing streak today. The NASDAQ's down about 2%, so that's a bit of a change. And, you know, they say as goes January, so yeah. goes the year.
So it like, should be a good year for shorting, I'm thinking.
There seems to be a lot of opportunity on the short side.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And that's why I think we have so much red this week. And I think as we shift to more shorts, I think we're going to start to see more green.
Right. Green Mountain is coming out with earnings. Oh, I should put them on there. Wait a minute. You know, I got to put Green Mountain on. I just got to do it.
You're going to short it?
I got it.
All right.
I have to do it. I have to do it. It's just, it's been holding up pretty well, actually. Today was down 3.5%. Somebody's obviously selling it. It came back and it was flat at the end of the day, I think, because the market, you know, started coming up and everything comes up. But, you know, SodaStream came out with some numbers and there's a lot of competition with Starbucks, you know, with their, you know, coffee machine. And obviously, all that goes along with that. And then, you know, you wonder when the saturation of the market comes into play with that. And the fact that there's a lot more brands out there that can utilize those K-cups, even though many of them will pay some kind of a royalty back to Green Mountain. It's kind of like the, Gillette razor deal, you know, where you buy the device and then you have to utilize their razors. So they're making some money on that. But still at the same time, I mean, I think there's a lot of different options, a lot of different things that could dilute their earnings, you know, from the high level. And there's a lot of excitement. So, and the good news, it's coming around the corner. So good. We'll put them on there. And I will see you next week.
All right. Next Tuesday, we'll talk then. Yeah.
Great. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.